All of us grew up hearing fairy tales, but the origins of these stories are rooted in darkness. Today, we look at two fairy tale films that absolutely are not for children on this grim edition of
Shrek Previews!
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me.
Your heart will cease with fear. Monsters creeping near. It's time to lend an ear to Shrek Previews.
Dan, this is certainly a grim episode. You see what we did there? Because a lot of these fairy tales started from the Brothers Grimm.
Yeah, the Brothers Grimm, the famous Brothers Grimm.
And if you read those fairy tales from their book, a lot of these tales that we grew up with are really dark and disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
And people don't realize, like, Ring Around the Rosie is all about the plague.
I heard something about that, yeah.
Yeah, and there's just so much of that. So, listeners, we've decided here at the podcast to kind of change things up. We've been experimenting with format and stuff, and we really want to focus. So, we are changing the name of the podcast. You'll notice what we said. It's not Shrek Previews anymore. It's Shrek Previews. I'm Brent, and I'm here with Dan, my co-host.
Hey, guys.
And we are going to be talking about all things Shrek.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, this is a horrific character. He's surrounded by fairy tales who have their origins in these dark stories. And so I just think we can get a lot of mileage out of that.
And there's a lot of undertones that people don't realize. Like for example, I feel that Shrek suffers from deep depression because of his appearance.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hermit.
Right.
You know, he's isolated from the rest of the world.
And there's a lot of adult situations and even language in these movies.
Oh, yeah.
So just because they're animated doesn't mean they're kids' stories.
Well, I never thought that this was marketed towards kids, really. You think about it with all the, you know, all the word, all the, you know,
right.
the adult themes and
right.
This, yeah.
But I mean, as DreamWorks and it just.
But yeah. What kind of dreams?
Well, right.
Bad dreams?
These are more like nightmares.
These are nightmares.
And so I just felt that we can really dive deep. And so today we're going to be talking about the in this edition of Shrek Previews, we're going to be doing an overview of Shrek 1 and Shrek 2. Now, certainly there's Shrek the Third and more chapters, and there's fan fiction and stuff that leaves room for us to expand on.
Really? This universe expands beyond 1 and 2?
Yeah, you never saw Shrek the Third?
No.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, I never would have imagined watching Shrek again past my daughter's childhood. Because it's not, you know, it's just not my demographic. It just never really thought about it until now, how dark this is.
Yeah. But now that we've seen it again, we see how much meat there is for us to gnaw off the bones and regurgitate for these horror fans.
Yeah.
So listeners, if you haven't seen Shrek 1 and Shrek 2, turn off the podcast. Go watch these dark films. You know, protect your heart. Watch these at your own risk, really. And then come back and listen to us talk about it.
Protect your heart?
Yeah, you know, it's just, 'cause we don't want them, you know, just being sucked into the depression and demented evil of these films.
Yeah, I think more than that, you have to be mentally prepared for what you're about to witness.
Right, absolutely. So I guess I will lead things off with talking about Shrek. So this movie is about a foul ogre whose breath is flammable and he eats eyeballs and he terrorizes the local kingdom. in the company of his pet donkey, which is possessed by an unholy spirit. The ogre storms a castle during a tournament and without provocation wipes out all of the champions, just flat out murders them. It's a massacre. He and his unholy donkey then rescue a princess who is secretly an ogre, and she likes to beat up on wandering minstrels in the woods. On their adventures, they also torment local wildlife. Eventually, the group breaks up a royal wedding, and their dragon eats the king, plunging the kingdom into chaos and darkness.
Yeah.
And that's the movie.
That's the movie. It's just, I mean, I just... First of all, the king is no hero. He's no, you know, he's no good guy. He's a narcissist.
Right. This is like, you know, one of those movies where there's very few good characters.
Yeah. You know, and even though he gets eaten, was it really deserved?
I mean, the
punishment didn't seem to fit the
right,
the
exactly.
Crime. He didn't
just,
really.
He just wanted a wife.
Yeah.
And there was this, you know, this prophecy that he would be able to marry this princess, whatever. And then this ogre comes in and breaks up his wedding. And then a dragon comes in and just gobbles him up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are certain things like donkey reminds me of Black Phillip from The Witch.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing. He looks like a diabolical goat. Devil. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you look at it, Shrek is voiced by Mike Myers, by Michael Myers.
Yeah.
A name in horror. He's played awful people before, like Dr. Evil and such. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you've got...
Oh, you got to do the pinky. You gotta,
right, yeah.
Dr. Evil.
And then Donkey is voiced by Eddie Murphy, no stranger to horror movies. We reviewed him in Vampire in Brooklyn.
Yeah. So. And Black Phillip used to also spoke in
yeah.
The Witch.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Do you want to live deliciously?
Yes.
You know, it's kind of those... kind of things. You notice that before he kind of befriended Shrek and they joined forces, notice how manipulative Donkey was. Like Shrek says, well, you can sleep outside. And he's like, oh yeah, I guess outside, that's a great place for me. Mm-hmm. You know, he's, you know, really trying to manipulate Shrek.
Uh-huh. But I think Shrek had gotten so used to his isolation that he couldn't break out of it.
Well, sure.
And he degenerated into this thing that, I mean, did you see him use his earwax for candle?
Right. He's really kind of an anti-hero.
Kind of like, yeah.
I mean, I would have been more sympathetic to him, but then my attitude towards him completely changed when he and Donkey and Fiona are walking through the forest, and Shrek catches an innocent frog and blows it up like a balloon.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's animal torture. And then Fiona grabs a snake and twists
it into like a balloon animal.
Yeah, breaking its bones and stuff. And then they just let him go. Like, it's, you know, left in this state where they're clearly in agony and going to die.
And this is one of those examples of a horror movie that is effective in broad daylight.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be set at night.
Right.
If you noticed, all the scenes were in like broad daylight, kind of like Midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything happened in broad daylight because they fuck with your psychology.
Yeah.
This movie messes with you, Brent.
Mm-hmm. It's just there are so many aspects of this movie. There's the body horror where the king, who we've already talked about, wasn't a very likable guy, but when he's torturing the gingerbread man,
mm-hmm.
and he's after these fairy tale people, and Shrek just gives up the fairy tale people, says, oh yeah, they're at my swamp, go get them and clear them out,
yeah.
even though they've come to him looking for refuge.
But you see, but he didn't know if Lord Farquaad,
right.
who I believe is modeled after Rob Lowe, because his face kept reminding me of Rob Lowe.
Oh, he was voiced by John Lithgow.
John Lithgow did it?
Yeah.
But his face reminded me, the model, you know, the face, the caricature,
sure.
reminded me. And that head, Jesus.
Right.
That head was huge.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is you didn't know if Lord Farquaad was going to come in with bulldozers and just scoop up all the
right.
these beings, because they're really beings.
But Shrek didn't care. He just wanted to
dump them in a ditch or something. Yeah.
Yeah, like a mass grave. And then, as I mentioned, Shrek comes in, and all of these champions, they're just there for a tournament, and Shrek just starts wiping them out. And he does it in kind of a, you know, a brutal fashion, almost like it was like pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And these guys were just there for a tournament. So what Shrek did was absolutely murder.
This movie, I don't know whether it's psychological horror or is it a creature feature.
Yeah, it kind of walks that line.
Yeah, and it does it effectively. It goes back and forth. It's psychological. No, that's it. That's creature. Oh, fuck. You know? And that's what, it's not without its faults, though. I mean, am I to believe at the end, you know, when the dragon comes by,
mm-hmm.
and Shrek climbs up the chain?
Yep.
Am I really to believe that donkey jumped from the ground on top of the dragon?
Right.
It's a good 20 feet, 30 feet. Like, yeah, sorcery. Yeah.
So
Fiona was way out of proportion for him.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the human. I mean the ogre Fiona was way out of proportion right. for him. He looked like fucking ginormous.
And notice whenever she transformed, her clothes like expanded to fit her.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I thought spandex in that era? No. Sorcery.
Yeah, sorcery. So
I thought they were going to consume donkey at the end. Yeah. I thought Fiona and Shrek were going to sit down and tear them apart, consume them.
Right. Maybe that was the initial intention, but as we know, donkey is able to whisper convincing truths and untruths into people's ears. So he might have been manipulating them. He might be the mastermind behind all this.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes him seem like he's just an innocent bystander.
Maybe he's like the Dr. Frankenstein to Frankenstein. So Shrek would be the Frankenstein, would be the monster.
Mm-hmm.
And Donkey would be like Dr. Frankenstein, who manipulates and controls the monster. And then you've got kind of like the Bride of Frankenstein thing going on with Fiona.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
That's, and that's ancient horror history, of course.
Right.
But it's a classic setup tale of, you know, the manipulator, the puppet master,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, you've got this like conflictive love interest. Is she going to take Shrek away from the evil doc type of thing? In this case, the donkey.
Yeah. Interesting. So, and that's a parallel I hadn't really considered when watching this. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Dan? What do you think I'm going to rate this at?
I think you're going to give this a 7.
6.5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It wasn't as scary as I would have liked it to be, but there was a lot of interesting character development and some humorous moments.
Mm-hmm.
They did a good job of walking that fine line of like you said, psychological horror and creature feature.
Mm-hmm.
We're jumping ahead a little bit. I actually liked Shrek 2 better than this one. But
yeah, me too. I have to say,
yeah. So,
and we'll get to that in a minute.
We'll get to that in a minute. So, I gave it 6.5. I'm gonna say you also gave it 7.
I gave it 6.
6. Okay.
You know, it does walk that fine line. It goes back and forth. The humor for me was a little jarring because you've got this whole black humor, you know, fuckery, and then suddenly they joke about it, and it's just like, are you kidding me? That's sick.
Yeah.
You know, it was very nice to see all these characters, a gingerbread man and, you know, all these monsters of the fairy tales, you know, Pinocchio and, you know, very, I like the way they worked them in.
Mm-hmm. The you blind know. Mice, the three pigs.
Mm-hmm. That whole question of, have you seen the Muffin Man? Well, who the fuck is the Muffin Man?
Right, yeah. It's
and what is he doing?
Right, and they never really...
They never say.
And now at this point, we have no idea, because after that scene with the muffin where the gingerbread man gives up the Muffin Man, essentially, then we see more of Shrek. But Lord Farquaad, he thinks that his quarry is with the Muffin Man. We have no idea. He might have gone and just completely wiped out the Muffin Man. He might have gone to Drury Lane, found that he had been lied to, and just executed him.
Farquaad reminds me of the character that, what's that, The guy that does Ringer is a director that whose son is a director now. Not Clive Barker, but
no,
Cronenberg.
Yeah, Dave Cronenberg.
He reminds me of the character of Cronenberg that Cronenberg plays in Nightbreed.
Nightbreed, yes.
This whole movie reminds me kind of like Nightbreed.
Nightbreed, yeah.
It's got these twisted characters and this
dark
this
creatures,
and they, you know, and they're outcast and nobody wants them, and they live in this like mystical town.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah. Interesting.
And I didn't like Nightbreed. And I kind of liked this. There was a lot of good elements.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt that it something was missing.
Right.
Something was missing.
Yeah. I mean, if you go into this just expecting a lighthearted little romp, you're going to be in for a surprise.
It's much more than that, folks. So I'm going to bump this up to 6.5.
Ooh, Dan's pulling out one of the halves.
One of the half skulls.
So we both gave this one 6.5 skulls. All right. Yep. Now, before we move on, Dan, will you hand me that for a second?
The pen?
Yes. Okay. So this is a pen. Now, listeners, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/shriekpreviews. We'll have to maybe change it to Shrek Previews later, whatever, as we get on with that, but Shriek Previews. And for $4 a month, you can become a patron of our podcast. But I want to incentivize those of you who listen. So, Dan, this is a pen. And if we don't get at least a dozen new patrons on our Patreon within the first week of, well, no, let's say by the middle of April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am going to stab you in the neck with this and watch you bleed out.
Wait, me?
Yes, you.
Why me?
Well, I'm not going to stab myself in the neck. That would be ridiculous.
Okay, I suppose that's right.
So, and then, if you bleed out, then Angel or Stephanie can take your place, whatever. So the podcast will continue. But listeners, if you're thinking, wow.
But can we talk about this?
No, I'm talking. Will you stop? Listeners, if you've been on the fence about becoming a patron, now Dan's neck is literally on the line. And if something happens to him, you're really at fault. So $4 a month is all we're asking. Do your part to save Dan's neck. At patreon.com/shriekpreviews.
So you're threatening the listeners to join the Patreon?
No, I'm not threatening them. I'm just telling them what happens if we don't get at least a dozen new patrons by the middle of April.
Ingenious. I'm down.
All right, cool. Yeah, I knew you would be in with it. Not that I'm giving you much choice or anything, but there we go. So, all right. So with that out of the way, Dan, why don't you tell us about Shrek 2?
So Shrek 2, Shrek and Fiona are married and they're living happily. They're invited to see their parents and invited to far, far away, which is where they live. That's their kingdom. And so the parents don't approve of the interracial relationship, especially the father, who ends up hiring a hitman, who's a killer. And of course, right? But Shrek overtakes and befriends said killer. And the king, Fiona's father, is blackmailed by Fiona's fairy godmother. She is the mastermind. Her son was agreed to by the king and the godmother to marry Fiona, and he's a total sociopath. Mm-hmm. The godmother ends up turning Shrek into a hideous human and tricks Fiona into marrying her son. Human Shrek barges in on a ceremony riding on a giant monster, and it was a giant gingerbread, really,
mm-hmm.
and is disintegrated, and Prince Charming ends up dying under a collapsing tower.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it.
Okay. How much was, how much did I?
You would have had 2 seconds left.
Okay. I'm getting better. I'm starting to
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, there was a lot of, this one, I think, was a lot more psychological and elevated horror.
The thing for me about this one, Brent, this is true crime. This is true crime. You hire a hitman to kill somebody else.
Right.
But all the more dark is that it's a family murder plot. It's his father-in-law wants him killed.
Also, this had elements of like Get Out to me.
Well, yeah, because of the interracial relationship.
How accepting mom was, and then the king's like, oh, yeah, can we can we try again? Here, come hunting with me. And that's when the killer...
You know something's going to happen. The fairy godmother reminded me of Blanche from the Golden Girls. Yeah. I don't know why I had to throw that out.
I think she was played by Julie Andrews, if I remember correctly.
I can believe it.
And then the king, did you know who... the king was John Cleese.
That was John Cleese?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And Prince Charming was Rupert Everett.
Man, who is that? I know the name. I can't remember.
He's been in several like rom-coms and stuff like that.
Okay. That scene with the musical number with the fairy godmother singing Nip and Tuck, very sinister.
Yeah.
Just materialism. Here, take this. It got really fast and she was like panicking. Well done.
Yeah.
And you're right. This was a much better film. I think they got the tone of Shrek. You know, I thought that the monster, Shrek, was too softened by the union of the female of the species.
Yeah.
Female ogre kind of, you know, didn't let him be. It was just kind of holding him back a little bit in this because he was more ogreish in the first one. He's like, get away from me and all that, you know.
He's ripped in this one.
Yeah. I think, or my other take on this is maybe they're trying to turn the monster into sort of an anti-hero.
Yeah.
It could be. To me, I felt that the character expression seemed to improve from the first film. Like the actual, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, the film mirrors true crime due to the Dark King hiring and, you know, plotting to kill poor Shrek. You do feel sympathy. You do feel sympathy for him. You know, even down to the apprehension of human Shrek and Donkey in the episode of Nights.
Right.
This is one devious film due to that murder family thing.
Right. Like I said, this is a lot more psychological in nature. There wasn't as much blatant violence in this one, except when Shrek meets the killer.
Yeah.
Played by Antonio Banderas, who's very sinister.
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, there wasn't, you know, a lot of just flat out murder and massacre. It was more psychological and they're more plotting and backstabbery and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I liked
this. Reminds me the whole fact that the king is trying to kill Shrek kind of reminds me of the real life case of that rich guy down south who killed his son as his wife. That was been in the news a lot lately.
Murdaugh,
I think, is his name.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
I don't understand how the hell did human Shrek ride the giant gingerbread man and not fall off?
Right. Maybe at a little.
I saw his hand. He was not even grabbing onto him. He was just kind of had his hand steadying himself. Didn't make sense to me. And then at the end, you got that more black magic tone fuckery that turns them back into ogres at the end. I really could do without their musical number at the end. That Living La Vida Loca at the end was Cringe City.
Yeah, well, they did that.
You visited Cringe City before, right? In fact, the ending credit song cover of I Need a Hero was produced in Cringe City. Ah, terrible. Yeah. But other than that, good dark tones in this.
Yeah.
Very more realistic.
Yeah.
More realistic.
And I liked
I can see this happening.
Sure, absolutely, yeah. I like that there were more popular culture references. Obviously, Far, Far Away was meant to be like Hollywood, the big city, glitzy.
Oh, yeah, they even had the letters. It was glitzy. It's money, you know.
And then they had the rampaging gingerbread man and the fight scenes. This had the Matrix, right? The Matrix thing, or what am I?
Fiona's like battling the knights, and then you do the whole, you know, the whole camera turn, and you see her fixing her hair and then kicking ass.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So I liked a lot of those aspects to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I found this one to be a lot more enjoyable. It was...
Did you notice how the town, when you see the actual downtown of Far, Far Away, everything's perfect? Kind of like in what's that movie about the girl that was in another where she sees that that plane crashing? Bye Bye Darling? No.
Don't Worry Darling.
Don't Worry Darling. You know, it was almost too perfect. Everything was too just too perfect. And, you know, no flaw. Very sinister.
Yeah. I'm going to guess you gave this one, let's see, you gave this last one 6.5. I'm going to say you gave this one a 7.
I gave this a 7.5.
Okay.
Because I think this hit it a lot better on the mark than the first one. Remember I said the first one had something missing to it. This has like that little touch of like, holy shit, it's a father is trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets away with it because at the end, he doesn't pay for anything. He turns into a frog, but that's really not... That was a natural state from what I understand.
Yeah.
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 I think... Well, my turn. Did you have any other comments?
No. I think we...
Okay. And so I think that you gave this a... Also 7.
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I gave the last one 6.5. But this one, 7, a little bit better for the reasons that I have already mentioned.
Yep.
So, okay. Well, that is Shrek 1 and 2, opening a new chapter for Shrek Previews the Podcast.
Mm-hmm. By the way, this movie had 3 directors, and it was released in 2004.
Yeah.
The first one came out, what, 2001?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. As is typical for our format... We like to follow up a movie review by taking a look at a trailer for an upcoming horror movie. Now, this one, kind of like the Shrek movies, seems very lighthearted and such, but really has some dark overtones to it. So, listeners, I will leave the link to this trailer in the show notes so you can watch it yourself and then come back. And Dan and I, we're going to look at the trailer for the upcoming horror film, Despicable Me 4.
Ooh.
So, Dan, what did you think of the trailer for Despicable Me 4?
Well, I suppose evil breeds evil, because Gru is now a dad. He's got a little baby. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about Gru as an anti-hero. This feels more like an action movie, not really a...
It does.
Yeah,
but there's some creature, stuff that we saw what looked like a badger getting ready to attack and maim the infant.
Yeah.
And obviously the mutant minions of Gru that are not only instruments of evil, but also very abusive to each other.
This is another example of where you feel the character, the main character, Gru, is becoming too soft. He's suburban life is making him too soft. And I feel that they need to go back to his roots of the original Gru plotting and scheming as I have my hands like a villain. I feel they need to go back to that, to the, where he was commanding this army of like minions,
yeah,
so to speak,
Right.
For lack of a better word.
Right.
But, I suppose we'll have to give this a shot. We're going to, change,
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. We'll have to figure out what to pair that up with. But that's coming out this summer, so we'll see what happens. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. At this point, you've gotten through this episode, and you're thinking, wait, what? Really? It's going to be all about Shrek from now on? And cartoons, and Brent's going to murder Dan if we don't get more patrons and such. I know it seems like kind of a big deal, but if you're getting anxiety over this, go take a look on your phone at the calendar. Look at what day this podcast comes out. And we appreciate you. We will talk at you next week.
We got him.